We have looked at different ones. We have looked at Barnabas. We have looked at Paulus. We've looked at Aquila and Priscilla. We have studied Mark. We have studied Silas. We have studied Timothy. We have studied Titus. Tonight, I want us to study someone who's a big person in the New Testament, though he is only mentioned three times. And this is the person of Luke. And in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, we find that in verse 14, there's a mention of Luke. And it says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas forsake you, or greet you. Demas forsook him, but this time he was greeting him. So it is interesting that when we go to the person of Luke, we find here somebody that really is kind of stands out big in the New Testament. But when we're thinking in the terms of the friends of Paul, we might overlook him because so much is written by him, but little is mentioned of him, at least as we go through this. And so I've got 7 points about the apostle, or about Luke, about Apostle Paul's friend Luke. And we're going to see a few things. We're going to look, first of all, in Colossians chapter 4. And the first thing we see is that he was a Gentile believer. A Gentile. Now, a Gentile is a what? A non-Jew. So this is somebody who is not Jewish. And if you look here in Colossians chapter 4, we have a good indication that Luke was not a Jew, because it says in verse 10 that there's Aristarchus, and then there's Marcus, which we have studied. And it says in verse 11, there was Justus, who was also called Jesus, who are of the what? Circumcision. So the fact that Luke is not mentioned with the circumcision or Jewish, but later on we see in verse 12, there is 3 other people, Epaphras, who was a Colossian, it says in verse 12, and that he says, who is one of you. Then there is Demas, and then there is Luke. So we have every indication here that Luke was a Gentile. Now, if that's the case, he is the only Gentile author in the New Testament, because all of them are Jews. And it's interesting, isn't it, how salvation is not just for the Jews? I'm glad. How many of you are Gentiles? Okay. All right. So if salvation was only for Jews, we would be in trouble. Now, some of you didn't raise your hand. I'm assuming that that doesn't necessarily mean you're a Jew, but that you just didn't want to raise your hand. But the point is that salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin, and not only ours, but the sin of the whole world. And there are those who hold to a limited atonement. I don't know if you ever heard of that, which says that only Christ only died for the elect, only for the saved. Well, the Scripture tells us that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. All have been called to repentance. There's, Peter tells us that God calls all to repentance. So the fact is, Luke, at some point, and we don't know when he got saved, but at some point he accepted Christ. And Luke is an example of how God can use anybody regardless of race or gender. God can use us regardless of your personality, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of your parents. God can use you. So Luke was a Gentile believer. Secondly, we're going to see here that he was a capable historian. He was a capable historian. Now, if you go over to the book of Luke, and of course, if you were to ask who wrote the book of Luke, you really have to not be paying attention to say, I don't know. All right? So, Luke wrote the book of Luke. And the interesting thing is that we see that in verse 1, for as many have taken, verse 1 of chapter 1, as many as taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of these things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. Now, which tells us that Luke probably wasn't so much an eyewitness, but he had taken the time to organize, of course, under the inspiration of God, because he was inspired of God. All scripture given by inspiration. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so what we gather here is that Luke literally took the information, the facts about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells us here in verse 3, it seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order. So in other words, he goes back and he covers some things regarding the life of the Lord Jesus that Matthew, Mark, and John do not cover. So he goes back to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And of course, we know the Christmas story, right? But he did this, and he's writing to most excellent Theophilus, who is some kind of a ruler, that thou, verse 4, might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And then, of course, we come to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And Luke is the author of the book of Acts. If you didn't know that, we know that, you know, you compare what he said in chapter 1 of the book of Luke, and then he addresses it to Theophilus in chapter 1 of Acts, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. So, of course, what was that former treaties? The book of Luke. Of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And this is basically what Luke is doing here. He said, I've gone through and I've given you evidence upon evidence upon evidence that Jesus is who he said he was. And he goes on and talks about, now that he's died, now let's continue the story. So this is obviously a completion of the writings of Luke. And of course, we know that the Gospel of Acts is the second largest book in the New Testament. Do you know what the first is? Luke. So think about this. Luke has 1,151 verses, or 25,944 words, whereas Acts has 1,007 verses and 24,250 words in English. So much of our New Testament is given by this person of Luke. And he was a historian. He had given us some trustworthy information under the inspiration of God so that we might understand it. Think about it. If the book of Acts wasn't written, can you imagine you went from the Gospel of John, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then went to Romans? And Paul says, I am writing to you Romans. You'd say, who's Paul? Imagine, you know, What is the church of Galatians? What is the church of Corinth? What is the church of Colossae? See, the book of Acts tells us so much. And God is so gracious to give us that information. And being that historian, he was a very, very, very good writer. Now, again, I got through Greek, 2 years of Greek, and I know that it can be very difficult. But there are people who really knew Greek, and Luke was one of them. And some of the writers of the New Testament, of course, we have Koine Greek in the New Testament, and these writers of Greek, you could tell the difference between Peter and Luke. Peter was somebody who was more of a fisherman. He was kind of your average employee in fishing, and he would do a lot of different things. But Luke, when he wrote stylistically, he wrote grammatically in a very accurate way. He knew the Greek language very well. He used over 700 Greek words that no other New Testament writer ever used. Now think about that. Now they say that Shakespeare knew I forget how many words. And our English language has dumbed down. Do we know that? And so much of our education, last I checked, many people can read at a ninth grade level. But Luke was a very intelligent man. And he often used classical Greek terms when there was a choice to do so. So he was a very capable historian. And that, as I was writing this sermon, I thought of something that Bob Jones Sr. used to say. And he said something like this: God can use a person without an education. Can he? But this is what Bob Jones Sr. would say: but God won't use a person without an education who could have gotten an education and didn't take it. So in other words, God has put at our disposal. Now we have the internet, we have all kinds of stuff. Now there's a lot of junk and a lot of bad things. You better stay away from the internet. But there's a lot of good things that honestly we have the world's library at our fingertips. And if you can imagine somebody spending all their time watching smut instead of learning what God is trying to teach them in the Bible. I'm just amazed. I go to Blue Letter Bible, and I've often talked about that. And I'm able to go to Blue Letter Bible, and I can pull down every single word in the Greek language that is in the New Testament, just like that. I remember when I first got into the ministry, I had to use a Strong's Concordance, and I had to write out all of those things. We just have so much. So, since God has given you so many tools, it's good to take advantage of it. And God wants you to be able to use your mind. Now let me say that again. God wants you to use your mind for His glory. Jesus said, "Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind." And that's work. You know, people say, "I don't like school," because they don't want to work. Now, a lot of people would rather go out and do physical labor, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you something, mental work is harder than physical work. And I've done all kinds of jobs. That's why prayer is so hard. Because we have to focus on those things that God would have us to learn. So we learn from Luke that we ought to use our mind for His glory. And that's what Luke did. Number three, seven things here. I'm watching the clock. Number three, Luke was a companion of Paul. Now you say, well, that goes without saying. Well, does it? Now, of course, if Luke wrote all of Luke, all of Acts, he never mentions himself. So which tells us a little bit about his humility. Though we do know that in both Luke and Acts, he introduces his writing in the first person. So I'm writing this. So we come to three passages in the book of Acts which are called we sections. Now W-E sections. And let me just give you a couple examples of that. Look over to the book of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And if you'll notice in chapter 16, when Paul has, and we talked about this Sunday, the Macedonian call. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Was that Sunday or the week ago Sunday? I forget which one it was. Was it Sunday? See, I can't even remember what I preached, so how can I expect you to remember what you preach? You know, so the Macedonian call. And so Paul gets this calling in verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, what's the word? We endeavored. Gathering, the Lord had called us. Verse 11, we came. Verse 12, we were in that city. Verse 13, now here's an interesting verse. We went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which sorted thereof. So I can just imagine Paul went one way, Luke went another way, and others went their way, and they were witnessing. Have you ever gone soul winning? I go soul winning, and it's a fun thing. Sometimes you get into a group of people, and you say, you go get that person, you go get that person, you go get that person. And Luke was involved in the evangelism. Verse 14, he heard us. Verse 15, she besought us, and she constrained us, and the nation met us. Verse 16, verse 17, show unto us. And basically, these are the we passages. So Luke was involved in ministry. There's a second we passage. It's in the chapter 20. In chapter 20, apparently when Paul was coming back from his missionary journey, we're told in verse 6, and we sailed from Philippi. In verse 13, and we went before the ship. Verse 14, and when we met with us at Assos, we took him in. In verse 15, we sailed. We arrived. We came to Miletus. And what you'll see here is that you come to chapter 21. It came to pass that after we had gotten from them, we came. So, and I'm not going to read all these verses. I mean, you're going to see from chapter 21 all the way verse 17, Luke is very actively involved. Now, the third we section in the book of Acts is in Acts chapter 27. Now, Luke is going to write one of the most fascinating descriptions of a sea voyage. As a matter of fact, in literature, this is considered one of the most literary descriptions of a sea voyage. And of course, there was Paul who got into a sea shipwreck, right? And verse 2, and entering to the ship of Adramyttium, we launched. And we go on and see that Luke was involved in this all the way through. Even to the point that Luke actually gets in that shipwreck. And while he's in the shipwreck, remember they all swam to the island? Luke was there. He was right in the middle of the Apostle Paul's activities. I've often told the story over the years. I don't know how recently I did, but I remember I ran the half mile when I was in junior high school. And I remember I ran the city meet, and I really bombed out. I blew it. But we then have what's called the Oakland County meet. And I remember thinking, okay, that guy that won first place in city, I'm not going to let him get away from me. And I was in this race, and I stood, I ran, I don't know how far, maybe 10 feet behind him the whole way. I didn't care what anybody else was doing. And my plan was, I'll get around the last lap, and I'm going to kick, and I'm going to pass this guy. Well, I stayed with them the whole way. I kicked, but so did he. And he got first place. No, actually, he got second place, and I got third place. Now, the interesting thing was, bombing out in the city of Pontiac, Michigan, I excelled in the entire Oakland County. Why? Because I had my eye on that guy. You know, I think of Luke, and Luke had his eyes on Paul. And wherever Paul was, it seemed like Luke was around, even though you didn't know he was around. And I think it's important that we run around with those who walk with God. Find somebody who's doing what you think you should be doing for God and hang around them. Get around them. That's why you don't want to be around the wrong kinds of people. Because they'll take you to destruction. So, Luke was a companion of Paul. Number four. Let's go back to Colossians again. Now, taking you to that passage that we saw at the very beginning in Colossians chapter 4, we see the fourth thing about Luke. And maybe you already knew this, but Luke was a physician. He was in the medical profession. And it tells us in chapter 4, verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician. Now, interesting, Hebert, in describing this, talked about the practice of medicine, an old and venerable profession, had reached a high level of achievement in the days of Luke. By the 2nd century A.D., medical science had more knowledge than at any time in history before the 19th century. So think about this. From the time of Luke until the time of the 19th century, they really knew a lot about medicine. And Luke was heir to a science of medicine that could compare favorably with any medical practice to the early part of the last century. And Hebert says, Luke apparently first came into contact with Paul in connection with his services as a doctor. Now, to me, and there's certainly speculation because we don't know, but to me, this makes perfect sense. We know that Paul had medical issues, right? He had a thorn in the flesh. Some wonder if it was eyes. Some wonder if it's malaria, and those kind of things. And maybe that's why Luke was on that ship. Because they let him have a medical doctor with him. Now, Luke was not only a medical doctor, he was a spiritual doctor. And yet, he was able to use this medicine for God's glory. As a matter of fact, and we don't have time, but if you were to study Acts chapter 27, you would see that There could be some indication that while Paul was healing people on that island, remember, was it Publius, and he healed on that, that the reading of that text could also include the fact that Luke was practicing medicine as well. So, whatever gifts and talents you have, use them for the work of the gospel. You know, some of you, you don't know enough about medicine to prescribe a cough drop. But at the same time, you know, we have to understand that you might have gifts and talents in an area that somebody else doesn't. You know, consider some things that you can do that no one else can do. There's certain things I can do that somebody else could not do. Now, there's other people that could do what I do, but I'm just saying that there are certain things that you do and your upbringing and so forth. God has given you certain abilities. You ought to use that. Don't make the mistake of having a gift and not using that gift. So he was a physician. Now, this verse also tells us that he was beloved. And I'll only take a moment to mention this. From the word agape, when it says the beloved physician, that word means to be esteemed, to be dear. It is a word that speaks of endearment. And of the six people mentioned in this chapter that we've read, only one of them is called beloved. And that tells us that Paul looked at Luke as someone who is deeply loved. Now, we are to love everyone, right? But wouldn't you admit that some people are easier to love than others? Now, if there is someone in your life that is someone easy to love, be sure you tell them. And Luke was that way, that he was someone who was beloved, and Paul told him. The sixth thing we see about Luke is that he was a fellow laborer. Now, if you go over to the book of Philemon. Now, Philemon is right before Hebrews. And in Philemon, we're told that the Apostle Paul ends this little letter, actually a large letter, little book in the New Testament, and we're told in verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, mentioned again, and Lucas. And what is he called? All of these were fellow laborers. And which means they were companions in work. You know, I think of my wife. My wife, I just praise God. 34 years plus, I've had somebody who stood by me and does the work of the ministry with me. And you know, it's wonderful. You know, over the years, many of you have been there. And working alongside of me. You know, there's some people that stand back and say, okay, I'm going to watch you work. But there's other people that say, hey, let me get my shoulder under that burden and work with you. And that's what Luke was. So find someone who is working for the Lord and work alongside of them. That's what we see from Luke. And finally, we've got to end. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, again, if you know anything about your Bible, you'll know that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is the last chapter the Apostle Paul is ever going to write. He tells us in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And we know that after this, at some point, according to tradition, they took Paul and they cut off his head. But we have a fascinating verse about Luke here. And we're told in chapter 4, verse 10, Demas, and this is what I was saying early, hath what? Saken me, having loved this present world. And different ones had left. But notice verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. And before dying, Luke stayed with him to the very end. And it's interesting. I find it an interesting story. I've read it many times over the years, but I can't get my mind away from it. When I thought about somebody staying to the very end, I think of this newspaper article that said that the papers over the nation carried this touching story. King was the collie's name. How kingly he acted in daily visiting for more than 8 years the grave of his master. His master, Angelo Del Plato, was killed in a motor vehicle accident. King, the dog, had delighted in romping with his master. At the graveside, King stood at the outskirts of the scene, and as the casket was lowered into the ground, the bewildered dog watched with wonderment, seemingly a chief mourner at the solemnities. Admiring friends said of King, "I can't remember a single day in the last 8 years that he has gone to the cemetery. He usually lies in Angelo's grave a little while and then comes home. When tied, he broke ropes and pulled down posts to get away to go to the master's grave. The faithful dog has found a way to be as close as possible to the boy he loved. Love always finds a way." And that describes Luke. Luke, at the very end, he was constantly at Paul's side. And Hebert said, Luke may have penned the letter to Timothy for Paul, who, according to tradition, was confined in the dark prison. Surely Luke witnessed the execution of his dear friend and arranged for the burial of his body. Now, we don't know that for sure, but he was there. And of course, Paul said, Timothy, you come. And he tells others to come. Boy, we sometimes think about all that Paul, the apostle, had done for the Lord Jesus Christ. But consider his friends. He had friends that stood with him. They didn't at least they all didn't turn their backs on him. May God give us Lukes in this day. Our Lord, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, you are so gracious. You are so good to us. Lord, be with the trustee meeting. Help them as they go through events and around the building. I pray that you would guide and direct us all. And Father, help us to be like Luke. And we thank you because, Lord, we didn't just have a service tonight. We studied your word, but we came to you. And Lord, we trust you that you will help us to be like Luke. In Jesus' holy name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.